Please turn with me in your Bibles to James 1. In all of the ways that Paul was a deep theologian, writing Romans and letters to the churches, like for 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, he wrote out to all these churches describing the gospel and describing deep theological things. As much as he was a great theologian, helping us understand theologically the nature of God and who we should be there, as much as that is Paul, James is very, very different. James is a very practical person, a very practical writer. He writes to us giving us a lot of instruction, a lot of do things this way. James kind of has an expectation that you get the gospel already, that you have an understanding of who Jesus is already. Hopefully you've already gotten one of Paul's letters written to your church and you've been corrected on all the things theologically that you need to be corrected on, because James is jumping in and saying, okay, now that you have that, do this. Live this way. James doesn't mention Jesus' name very often. He doesn't go into deep theological concepts very much at all. But he really tries to help us figure out how to live our lives in a way that honors God. As we study this book together, I believe that God has planned to do a work in our church. If we can apply the instructions given here, I believe that our lives will be changed. If we start to behave this way, if we can apply the instructions given here, I believe that we can come out differently. If we can wrestle with the truth, wrestle with the things that are presented here, and be obedient to it, I believe that our church will change. I believe that God will be glorified. I believe that we will be equipped. I believe that we will share the gospel. The incredible thing about this book is if we take heed of it, there will be a measurable difference in who we are as a church. We will be able to see the difference. We will be able to feel the difference, because this book is very practical. I'm not trying to fill you with head knowledge. This is a book of instructions. There's 108 verses in this book. There are 60 specific instructions. That works out to like 2.5 years, I think, of sermons, so we'll just be here for a while. I'm just kidding. We're not going to spend 2.5 years in James. But James leans very heavily into wisdom. He looks at the book of Proverbs a lot. He looks at the Sermon on the Mount a lot. Both of those things are very practical. Everything about this is going to be practical. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. God, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the instructions that are given through James. I thank you that his ministry continues to cause change in the church today. God, help us to understand the things that were written. Help us to apply those things to our lives and take that into this next season that we will have together. God, I thank you for what you have planned for our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 4. And James started this letter very quickly, jumping right in from saying, "Hi, I'm James," to "Consider it joy when you experience various trials. It says, "James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings." That's verse 1. Then, "Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials." He wasted no time at all. And he goes into, "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." leading us into this more mature Christian life where every day and with each thing that we endure, we become more like Christ and more complete in that. As we go through stuff, as we suffer, as we struggle, as we are tested and experience the things that God has for us and that the fallen world has presented before us, all of that works out so that we become more and more like Jesus. Good. That's all good stuff. We're picking up there, going right into verse 5. It says, "Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given unto him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like a surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all of his ways." James 1:5 is one of the great promises of God in Scripture, and it can stand alone. You can pull this verse, you can pull James 1:5 specifically out of context. This is the only time I'll say that you can do that, ever. You can pull this verse out of context and it stands by itself. It is a complete sentence, a complete thought. On its own, it has everything that you need. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. If we understand it, if we practice it, if we apply it to our situation and to our lives, it is true. You can use James 1:5 in any situation. You can quote it in any circumstance. Should I stay here or should I move? Well, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Should I go to this school or that school? If anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask God. You can read this verse all on its own. But one thing that we should understand is that the thoughts that we looked at last week are tied to what we're seeing here. Consider it great joy when you face trials of various kinds, so that it causes maturity and you would lack nothing. But if you lack wisdom, we're connecting the conversation. It's not saying that wisdom doesn't come from those trials, but the reality is that wisdom directly comes from God the Father. And we grow in that because he gives it to us. The reality is you don't go to the school of hard knocks and get wisdom. I've seen a lot of people who say that. Hey, I've been through a lot. And you are still very, very dumb. I don't know what's going on there. In fact, we don't get wisdom from any school at all. In fact, if education and hardship is all that we needed, we would be in a very different place, right? Because we all went through some sort of education and we've all struggled and suffered. Some of us more than others. It would seem like if education and hardship was all that you needed, we'd be getting along a lot better off than now than ever. That's obviously not the case. In the Greek, it's interesting, and we should look at the Greek as people who study the Bible. You don't have to obsess over it. You don't have to learn Greek in its entirety, but you should often attempt to understand what the Bible is attempting to say in its original language. The English rendition of the Bible, the English translation of the Bible, is not in itself holy. This is not the way it was written. It's written this way so that we can understand it. But in the Greek, it starts this passage, this verse with, "But if any of you lack wisdom." We translate that to say, "Now if any of you lack wisdom." But there's a little bit of sarcasm that is implied in the Greek, which is fun to me. Because James could have just said, and when you lack wisdom, but he doesn't do that. He's kind of nice about it, but a little bit sarcastic. He says, but if any of you lack wisdom, as if someone could say, no, I have enough wisdom. I actually don't need any of that. Could any of you in this room say, actually, I'm doing fine. I don't need anything else from God. Actually, I've got it all figured out. Nope, I've got plenty of wisdom. No. We don't say that out loud. We do behave that way sometimes. It's an encouragement for all of us to enter into that next part with a little bit of, hey, listen, if you find yourself without wisdom, not that you will, because you're totally fine, everybody's totally fine, but if you find, for some reason, like I know it's not going to be anybody that goes to this church because you guys are fine, but if anybody lacked wisdom, you can ask God. It's an encouragement for us to get to that place where we will say, okay, let me ask the Lord. To ask God for the wisdom that we lack. As we go into that, we need to understand what wisdom is. We need to understand why we need it. We need to understand how to get it and then what to do with it. Wisdom is not simply education or intellect. It's not something that you necessarily get by going to college and getting a master's degree or anything else. In fact, it seems like the more education we receive in the world, the less wisdom we behave with. Because we end up relying on our education. Wisdom is not simply a matter of the mind. It is about morality and behavior. It is a spiritual thing. We believe, we understand, and so we behave. That is wisdom. A wise man is the one who hears the words and puts them into action. Alistair Begg said, wisdom is godly insight applied to living of life. Job chapter 12, verse 13 says, wisdom and strength belong to God. Counsel and understanding are His. Wisdom is spiritual and practical. And we should ask for wisdom when we feel inadequate for the task at hand. You should feel inadequate for most tasks at hand. We should feel inadequate for the task at hand as very, very often as believers. Your best on your own is probably not good enough. And I have to have that conversation with my kids pretty often. They say, hey, I did my best. Well, your best probably wasn't enough. So we either need to rethink what your best is, or you need to give more effort than you were willing to in the beginning, or you need to revisit the way that we're going to go about this entirely. Maybe you don't do it on your own. Maybe that was your best, but your best is not enough. And the reality is, the world isn't going to tolerate your best as being good enough. So God comes alongside us and says, hey, I've got this for you. As we tie this verse to verses 2 through 4, where it says you're going to suffer many trials, trials of various kinds, wisdom really is necessary for Christian living because we're going to go through some stuff. And as we go through that, we learn to value wisdom. Going through stuff is one thing. Going through stuff and remaining a fool is much worse. We see this with kids and teenagers a lot, but I also see it with grown men in construction. And that's a world that I live in. Outside of this, I have a job full-time and as a contractor, as a project manager for a contractor. And so as a project manager, I'm not often on the job site, but when I do get to go to the job site, I see some really, really dumb things. The closest tool at hand is often not a hammer, but whatever is nearby can quickly become a hammer. And I've seen that so many times. That's a $400 drill. Yeah, I know, but I just need to. Okay. And I chuckle because there are so many people that decide to do things the hardest way possible. They just decide, hey, I'm going to struggle. Where the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, if you don't know, which is an okay place to be, then ask God. If you don't know why you're struggling, ask God. If you don't know how you're supposed to get out of this, ask God. If you don't know what's going to happen in the end of this, ask God. If you need wisdom to get through it or to know how to approach it, ask God. But to do that, you have to get to that point where you don't believe that you already know everything. You have to get to a point where you don't believe you already know everything. It plays out like this. Whew, God, you were right to call me in on this one. It was good for you to put me in this position because I got this figured out. I got a plan already. I got this all laid out ahead of me already. I will take it from here. God, you go ahead and sit down and rest. I know why you put me in this position. It's so that I can handle it. You don't even have to do anything. You prepared the way for me, and I'm going to do it. That's the arrogance that we get. People go through their lives, and they say, I don't need God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. I don't need anything. I've got it all figured out. Before you're willing to ask for wisdom, you have to get to that place where you say, okay, I don't know. Some of that, I think, comes with age and experience. It's really hard as a young person to admit that you don't know. But the younger that you can figure that out, the better off that your life will be. Or just do everything as a 16-year-old before you realize you don't know nothing. Do everything before you forget. I think there's like a process where we just like forget all the information that we knew as an infant, and then like we have to relearn or something, and that's that school of hard knocks we were talking about a moment ago. And I'm not trying to be insulting to young people. I'm trying to say that we get this arrogance, and it can happen at any age, but we get this idea that we know, and so we don't ask. You have to get to that point where you don't know everything. And usually we can see that in others. It's really easy to identify in somebody else. Hey, this person is being really arrogant. This person really needs to ask God for help. This person really, they are struggling. It's much harder to see in ourselves. The question becomes, can we see those areas in our lives where we are arrogant, where we tread through our problems like an oaf? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I will succeed here. I'm going to make it through. Instead of asking God for help. We need wisdom. James is kind to us to not beat us over the head with it. He just says, hey, listen, if anybody here might need some wisdom, he offers it as a suggestion. You might want to consider asking God. But if you are walking through this fallen world, you are living and breathing, you are going to go through some stuff, and it's going to be thick. And you're going to need wisdom. The world isn't looking for wisdom anymore. We live in a world where you can find the answer to all of life's problems right there on the internet. And if it's on the internet, it's true. Abraham Lincoln said so. We Wisdom is knowing how to live God's way in the world that He created. Once we realize that we need it, how do we get it? It's very simple. The Bible says to ask for it. If you lack wisdom, you find yourself in a situation where, hey, I don't know already how to get through this. The Bible hasn't been super clear on this issue. There's not been something where I've been taught already. I've got some insecurity about what I'm getting ready to go into. I don't know how to handle this next situation, or suddenly I find myself in something, then we ask for it. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. If we lack wisdom, we ask. Solomon found himself as a young person suddenly in the place as being king. Suddenly in the place of being king. He wasn't necessarily ready at that moment, and he didn't feel like he was ready. And so he went to God. He got to a place where he was able to be in prayer, and he said, Lord God, let your promise be, this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, let your promise to my father David now come true, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust is of the earth. Now grant me wisdom and knowledge so that I may lead these people, for who can judge this great people of yours? He said, God, I need wisdom. God said to Solomon, since this was in your heart and you have not requested riches, wealth, or glory, or for the life of those who hate you, and you have not even requested a long life, but you have requested for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge are given to you. I will also give you riches, wealth, glory, unlike what was given to the kings who were before you or will be given to those after you. And from history, we know that to be true. Solomon was incredibly wise. He became incredibly wealthy. He was able to do incredible things. In fact, he got to the place of writing Ecclesiastes where he said, hey, listen, I got all this stuff and life figured out, and yet if I don't have God, then it's worth nothing. He wrote in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, he went through Proverbs chapter 1 and he said, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, and I write all of this for the pursuit of wisdom. He gets to verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Solomon asked for wisdom. He got to a place where he was in the most incredible position that he could possibly be in. He found himself as king of Israel. And a lot of people, when put into that special place of authority, that special place of honor, would say, well, I'm here because I was right for the job. God appointed me CEO because obviously I am important. God put me in this place as a pastor because I've got it all figured out spiritually and I can tell these 80-year-old people how to live their life. That would be a very naive thing for a person to say. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In Him are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We ask and God gives. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. God pours out wisdom generously. He doesn't want us to be without it. He gives it. When we ask, he gives it generously and ungrudgingly. Generously means that he gives at least as much as you've asked for, but probably more. If you ask a generous person for something, you ask them for $10 and they only have a 20, the response is probably going to be, well, I've got 20. I'm a generous person. I can only give what I've got, and I'm a giving person, so this is what I've got. God gives generously. He also gives ungrudgingly. He doesn't hold it against you that you've asked. In fact, he wants you to ask. He's not looking at you and saying, oh, Bruce is asking for wisdom again. I wish that dummy would figure something out on his own. I wish he'd just try once in a while. I wish he'd struggle through something once in a while. He doesn't say that. God's not looking at you like an idiot because you haven't got it all figured out already. He said, whew, I'm so glad that Bruce had at least the confidence in me to ask. I'm going to give Bruce wisdom in this. I'm going to pour out wisdom in this. When we are going through tough stuff, his answer is not to say, well, sucks to suck, or get over it, or walk that off. No, he says, draw near to me and ask me to help you understand why this is happening, to give you perfect perspective on what you are going through and to walk alongside you as the one who possesses all knowledge, eternal perspective, and perfect experience. God is the same every day, and he gives wisdom every day. If you ask for wisdom and how to go about your day on Monday, you get to come back on Tuesday. In fact, you get to come back Monday afternoon and say, hey, remember that wisdom you gave me? Cool, I would like some more. I've got this new problem. I was able to navigate that, thank you. But this is hard too. God is the same every day and he gives wisdom, but we have to ask. God is willing to let you go through life doing it your way if you want. How many of us would say that's a bad idea? Just me and Reagan. All right. Going through life your way without seeking the wisdom of God is not necessarily a good thing. But God will let you do it. He will let you just trudge. And that's like walking in knee-deep mud uphill, the same way you guys got to school. It's 2 miles both ways uphill. We have to ask. And that can be really simple. God, I need wisdom. Please help me. Heavenly Father, I need wisdom. Please. Lord God, please give me wisdom. It can be really, really simple. But it comes with some acknowledgments. First of all, that you don't have it figured out. That's a really important acknowledgment. You can't go to God and say, God, I have this figured out. I was just wondering, what was your opinion? If I was to do it your way, like, what would this look like? Like, I've already got the paintbrush out, but what color were you thinking? We've already got everything planned here. In fact, it's all paid for already. But was you thinking that I should go here or not? How do you think, God, this thing that I've already got figured out, I should handle it? You have to acknowledge that you don't have it figured out. And maybe that's just acknowledging, hey, maybe I've gone too far in this, God. I should slow down. Help me to fix what I've already gone too far on. Heavenly Father, I need wisdom, please. It's going to take an acknowledgement that you don't have it figured out. It's also going to take some acknowledgement of who God is. You don't get to come to the throne room of grace and say, hey, I need wisdom. Bible says you're supposed to give it to me. This isn't your Starbucks order. How can I help you, please? I need wisdom and 3 shots of espresso, please. Put it in a large styrofoam cup. We don't sell large. We sell, it's not that. Venti and grande and everything that means large except large. Heavenly Father, I need wisdom, please. With honor and respect, giving God the glory that is due Him because He is God. But then we also have a clarifier in here that says we need to ask with some confidence. Confidence in who God is, confidence in what He has promised us, confidence in that He is going to give wisdom in this situation. Which goes back to, you can't have it already figured out. If you're going to God and saying, hey, God, please give me wisdom, you don't get to go into that and say, but if you don't, I've already done it. We ask Him with honor and respect, giving glory to Him and with confidence that He's going to answer. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, let us draw near with a heart, with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. You have the ability to ask, but your ability to ask with humility displays the nature of your relationship with God. If you are running into this situation saying, God, give me some wisdom, you're probably not asking with enough humility. How you trust in Him reflects your relationship with Him and your belief in Him. God is not a proxy vote. He's not a just in case we needed some clearance on something. Just in case I needed to clarify the end result. God, please just bless this situation I've already put myself in. How you trust Him in this reflects what you believe about Him. Do you trust God to give you wisdom? Is He who you put your hope in? How you see Him in this reflects who you know God to be. The Bible says that we, if we lack wisdom, we go to God and we ask Him. And He gives it. But what would keep us from getting it? God gives except in a couple of circumstances. There are two things that we can understand. God is not going to give you wisdom in these two circumstances. Only these two. One we know from here, one we know from elsewhere. The first is pride. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but He gives greater grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we think we have it all figured out, Scripture is telling us that God isn't going to waste His time. He's not wasting His energy. He has infinite energy, but He's saying, hey, listen, I'm not doing anything. If you got it figured out, you got it figured out. Let that be on you. If your pride says, hey, I can do this on my own, God says, okay, I'll watch. Okay, let's go there. My dad used to do this all the time. It was really, really frustrating. He would watch me do things the wrong way and just let me do it. We had a 95 Dodge Dakota, and we bought it from somebody in Warsaw, and it was a ran okay, but there were some things that we needed to fix on it. And so I pulled it up into my dad's driveway, and we were working on things. I was taking the alternator out and some other stuff, and just struggling. And my dad was just standing there. I was like, is there, like, do you, what? He said, I'm just seeing if I can learn something. I said, would you help me here, please? And that was his response. I'm just seeing if I can. My dad, who had already done this before, watched me struggle, watched me go through, because I was determined in that moment that I was going to do it myself. I hadn't asked for his help. So he assumed I had it all figured out. He was going to watch me do it wrong because I had it all figured out. I'm just seeing if I can learn something. If you decide not to use the resources that are available to you, that's on you. God's going to let you do that. If you walk into it with pride, Scripture tells us that God isn't going to be involved. The I got this attitude keeps us from so much of the goodness of God. If you doubt that God is going to show up and be involved in your situation enough that you can handle it His way and that it's going to work out for your good, then He says, okay, I'll watch. And that's a terrible place to be. The I got this attitude keeps us from so much of the goodness of God. Pride gets in the way of God giving you wisdom, because you don't want wisdom. You want blessing on what you've already decided to do. Pride can get in the way because you have no desire to change. You've already got it figured out. You want assurance that your way is right. Pride can get in the way because you've got everything already ordered and paid for, and Amazon's getting it here in 2 days, and God's just got to say yes and amen. God's not going to have any part of that. The second thing is doubt. He explains this in James 1:6, but let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. J.B. Phillips paraphrased it to say this way. He said, he must ask in sincere faith without secret doubts as to whether or not he really wants God's help. We get to that place too where, hey, I'm just, God, I think maybe I might want to do it your way in this. Only to then say, no, God, I actually didn't want that yet. Today is Friday. I'm not sure if you know, but Friday is like the start of the weekend. Maybe we can do this your way on Monday, because Friday, I got some plans. Actually, it's the weekend, and actually it's a 3-day weekend, so maybe we'll start doing things God's way on Tuesday this week, right? We got to get the Labor Day celebrations out of the way. We've already planned, like it's already ordered. There's a fish fry, and we're going to. It's a 3-day weekend. We already got that camper hooked up. We are going out of town. God knows what you want. He knows what is in your heart. And if you doubt in the wanting or doubt in whether or not you will be receiving, God will withhold it. He's not wasting time with you. God looks at you and says, oh, you really want to do this on your own. Okay. Toddlers are notorious for this. They ask for help and then they're doing it their own way anyway, right? I taught everybody in our house how to microwave an egg yesterday. And that may have been a mistake. But I'm trying to teach people how to be people, okay? It's like we gotta learn some life skills. And so the next thing that you do after showing is watching them try, right? And the very first one that wants to try totally, completely forgets how we're going to crack an egg, and now there's egg everywhere. I showed you how to do this. But you really want to do it on your own, and so, okay. Play stupid games. Win stupid prizes. We have to ask honestly, without doubt, doubt that what we receive will be good. Our doubt in any of those ways can get in the way of receiving God's goodness. If we doubt, he says that we will be tossed. I don't know if I'm going to receive wisdom, so I'm just going to do it my way. I don't think I can wait on God in this, so I got to keep pushing forward. What happens when you do that is you are then going to be tossed like the sea. Where external things are going to be throwing you around. And we see that play out. We get into a situation where, okay, hey, I'm going to go through this, and I don't have time to wait on God for this, so I'm going to pray. And then we get thrown. Because something else comes up. And then we get thrown the other way because there's a new part of the circumstance that we didn't understand originally. And then we get thrown another way because we didn't know that bill was coming. You should budget better. Those bills come every month. You just got to know that. I hear that from people who want to borrow money all the time. I didn't know that this week was when my phone bill was due. How many weeks has it been since you paid your phone bill? It's on a rotation. I'm just telling you. It's the 23rd. It was the 23rd last month. It was the 23rd the month before that. It just comes due. I understand. I got life too. We get tossed by things that are external when we doubt. So we fight doubt by learning to value wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11 say, "Accept my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and nothing desirable can equal it." Solomon writes that if you can get to this place where you get some wisdom, you're going to understand that it's the most valuable thing that you can have. Wisdom is precious. Wisdom is important. It is incredible to have in your pocket. It spends better than anything else you could gather, because you're going to know how to be. You're going to know how to live life. We should, as believers, get to a place where we don't go into anything without asking God for wisdom first. God, help me know how to handle this, please. God, give me wisdom, please. I've got a situation at work. Give me wisdom in this. God, help me to know what house to be looking at to buy. Help me to know how to enter into this next season of our lives. Help me to know what to do about this relationship that I have. Growing in wisdom is going to include growing in our trust of the Lord. We're going to get into this a little bit next week, but as we grow in that, we learn to trust in His provision. We learn to trust in His care. As we see God show up in this, as He guides us through problems in life, we're going to become a people who is much more reliant on His wisdom in everything. God, I don't want to do anything actually without your wisdom and guidance and blessing on it. Because I have done it my way before. And it's hard. And those boots leak. Eventually, I'm just trudging through and my feet are wet and I feel terrible. God, if you would just help me before I go into it. As we see God show up in this, we learn to rely on it, just like provision. If we see God provide, we trust more in His provision. our relationship with God is just like our relationship with anyone else. As we see it happen, we trust that it will happen again. As we see God provide wisdom, we will trust in Him to provide wisdom again. And that is a phenomenal place to be. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to have the answers. God has the answers. I don't have to know what to do here. God knows what to do here. He's already got a plan and a purpose and provision and blessing. I just have to ask. If any of you lacks wisdom, just in case, just like maybe if this happens to somebody random, I'm telling you this so you can tell your friends. I know you don't need it. But like this one verse you can take out of context. It still works. If you lack wisdom, ask God. We may be complete in a lot of things because we have been built up by trials and tribulations. We might be getting along all right. And we can do that without wisdom. You know, you can fight through life and you can get it to work out okay. But when you realize that you lack wisdom, when you can't put it all together yourself, James says, stop. Ask God. Wisdom is necessary for a life that honors God. Ask God who gives. God gives. He gives so generously and ungrudgingly. And when you ask, He will give it to you. When you realize that you lack wisdom, when you realize you can't put it all together, stop and ask God, who gives? But as you do that, check yourself for pride and for doubt. Get to that place where you can say, okay, God, I'm trusting in You for this. I'm setting my plans aside. I'm willing to let You tell me how to do this. I don't need my way in this. I need Yours. And as you do that, God gives. And we've seen that in our own lives. I've seen that in my own life. I know it to be true. And if you ask the testimony of those of us in here who've been Christians for a long time, we're going to say this is true. In fact, the times that I've been most blessed are when I was going through something and I stopped and I said, okay, God, this is too much for me. As believers, we should be there more and more often. God, this is too much for me. My best is not enough. I need Yours. And He gives generously and ungrudgingly. That's an incredible, incredible promise. We want to stand on promises like that in Scripture. We want to stand on stuff like that that we have given to us, written for us, promised to us from God the Father, who loves and gives generously. So, tell your friends, because I know you don't need it, but tell somebody else, when you think they're struggling, hey, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for wisdom that you've poured out into each one of us for the situations that we've been through already every time that we've asked. God, remind us of this verse. Remind us to tell others, but also to tell ourselves. As we get to those places in life where we are struggling, as we get to those places in life, even before the struggle starts, where we get to any sort of decision, God, help us. Help us to apply your word in those situations, to ask for wisdom. God, thank you that you are a God who gives it. God, we lift up those of us that are traveling this week. We ask for mercy on them, that you would give them grace and that you would help them to come home safely. God, I ask for provision in each one of the lives that are represented here. I ask that you would go with us as we go about the rest of this season. God, help this book of James to seep into us and to cause us to be new people. Help us to live in a way that honors you. And let that start with being a people who is willing to ask for wisdom. God, I ask for blessings to pour out on these people, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious.